Joining us via telephone is State Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Steve. Nice to be with you this morning.
Yeah, thanks for giving us a call here. And weather-wise, looking good right now. We got a little bit of rain maybe moving through the area. But how's your summer going so far with this heat?
You know, thanks for asking. Summer's been going great, but we do need more rain. And I've got a couple of newly planted food plots that are desperate for a drink.
You sound like Jamie McKibben.
Yeah, I hope you can do a rain dance and make sure we get, you know, every couple of days, get a nice shower because they need it badly.
No doubt about it. Well, summer is in full swing, no doubt, but a lot of the focus right now has been on what's going to happen after the summer and of course, kind of whether or not we'll be sending kids back to in-person instruction in the fall. Where's your position on that?
Well, my expectation and my fervent hope is that we are able to send kids back to school for in-classroom instruction. If that's what the students and the parents choose to do, I'm very impressed with the breadth of planning that's occurring across the school districts in Jackson County in particular, and they're preparing themselves for, you know, a wide array of different ways to deliver education. Some have been proven to work very, very well, and some are still, you know, under test. But we got to get back to school. It's an important part of our culture. It's also an important part of our society. And I'm strongly encouraging folks to embrace it and follow proper safety precautions. Schools have done a superb job of outlining what they need to have done to provide a safe environment, safe enough to call home for a few hours during the day. And so that's my fervent hope, is that we return in the fall. And it won't be exactly the same as we remembered it, but I think it can evolve to that. And I also believe, Steve, that we're going to see a new evolution in education delivery where it's unique programs, education plans, at the most granular level. In other words, individual education plans. We've had those for some who have been more challenged than others, but I'm suggesting that this is going to evolve into an ability to create individual education plans for every student. And so that may be one of the positive outcomes.
Masks is the ongoing debate, Mike, and I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, you've kind of been on board for mask wearing from the start, but masks in school looks like it's probably going to be a thing. Is that the way you expect it to look?
I differentiate masks from making not wearing masks criminal. Mm-hmm. I think that's a step way too far. But the science is split. But right now, the preponderance of articles that I do research every night trying to stay up current on the topic of masks, and it's beginning to grow more in favor. You have to be very discerning when you're reading these articles and look at who the authors are and what their research is. But right now, I believe to take angst out of the system, and even if they're only 50, 60, 70% effective, to the best of our ability, when we're in public around people, I believe we should try to attempt to wear them. But I do not think they should be criminalized. In schools, it'll be a different matter. And those kids, you know, third grade and below, it's going to be a real challenge to, you know, keep them masked up properly. But I believe that over time, it'll become, you know, as long as this virus continues to make itself present, I think it'll become more routine and less invasive for kids. I'm a little even more concerned about, you know, pre-K, kindergarten, first graders. They need a little more personal attention, and they need, frankly, they need touch. And so it's a little hard to social distance when you want to give a kindergartner a hug. And my heart and my concerns go out to those teachers in those classrooms, because I know they're going to be really challenged.
Another challenge for the schools coming up, I think, is still looking like it's going to be budget. Where do we stand on the state budget so far? It feels like some strides have been made to kind of fill those holes that were expected.
Yeah, excellent question. And this year's budget, for the current budget year we're in, we were successful in balancing it, and without dramatic negative reductions in various budgets. 2020-21 budget, which starts October 1st, I don't think we're going to be able to avoid some rather dramatic changes in certain budget line items. I heard yesterday, however, that the federal government is contemplating another CARES Act effort, and they start it with a T, as in trillion, and they actually specifically say some of it for the purpose of education. So that may be a little bit of help, but all the school districts that I've talked to and all the superintendents and administrators are planning for a per-student, per-pupil reduction this fall based on our most recent revenue estimates, and now we just hope that we can do better than that going forward. So we're going to be engaging in those kind of conversations with regard to the next year's budget immediately after this week, because this week we're passing the reconciliation and balancing of this year's budget. That'll be done tomorrow and Thursday.
Mike, where does the legislature's lawsuit against Governor Whitmer's emergency powers stand right now?
We got a split decision in the Court of Claims. One of the most liberal judges in the Court of Claims affirmed our position that the governor abused the 1976 law and extended the declaration of emergency without legislative approval. We won on that, but same judge in the same hearing ruled that a governor can operate pretty much unilaterally via the 1945 law, and so that was not a victory for citizens in Michigan. So we appealed it. It is now in the Court of Appeals. The Supreme Court has directed the Court of Appeals to rule by August 20th and hear any appeals by August 28th. And then, depending upon how those rulings and appeals go, it'll go to the Supreme Court. My prediction is mid-September will be in front of the Supreme Court.
Any chance that the emergency declaration is over by September?
I would say that that's a slim to none chance, and Slim just left town.
Well, I know. I don't recall if it was you or State Rep. Julie Alexander pointed that some executive orders have end dates or effective dates until November so far.
Actually, there's a couple of executive orders that are dated December.
Okay.
And there's a couple of executive orders that have no dates on them at all. So that tells you that I think that there's an expectation that we're going to be in some level of emergency declaration for a while yet. I'm intending to start communicating and asking the questions for clarity purposes and for inspiration purposes. I believe that the compliance issue with safety protocols, I think it goes hand in hand with disclosing how do we get out of this. And so far, the governor has not been clear about what conditions would be necessary for us to get out of an emergency declaration and get back to a normal legislative process. And so we're going to start having those conversations again. We started it back in April, and basically she just simply said, I don't know, and I'm not going to tell you. But I think now that we've got more time under our belts, more experience under our belts, it's time for revisit that. And frankly, I believe it's an obligation government has to its citizens to let them know. This is what it's going to take for us to get out of the state of emergency. And I also believe that would actually help drive compliance up, not down.
With a stated goal would kind of give people an incentive.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a goal in terms of a date. I'd
sure.
say a goal in terms of metrics.
Yeah,
and more than one metric, but nonetheless, and that to me has been missing from day one, and it also tends to compromise the notion that all decisions are based on data and science. When you can't defend data and science with outcomes that would allow you to roll out, then I think that compromises that assertion.
Well, Mike, if you were giving the governor a grade on her pandemic response right now, where do you think that would fall?
I would do it in two pieces. I would do it in the first phase would be March through April, and I'd give her a B+ probably.
Okay.
We were all kind of locked up and trying to do our best based on very little information. But since then, I think it's between a C minus and a D, because we have learned so much, and I believe it's time for us to move out of being in fear of this virus and learning to live with this virus, which many places across the globe have proven they can do. And I also believe that Michigan has proven it in certain areas. So it's a dual grade. It's a, the first response, I think it was pretty good, but I think it's lingered too long and without enough information so people can turn it into action and get out of the pickle that we're in. So that's my my response to that question, Steve. Thanks for asking.
Yep, my next question for you, I guess, is what grade would you give the legislature and what they've been able to do in response? Although that being very little, I suppose.
Well, we're really challenged, and I admit it. You know, with a reliance upon a 1945 World War II law that basically doesn't allow a legislature any say in anything, we've done our best to impose our will with regards to the budget. We filed a lawsuit challenging it. We've passed three bills that are related to the topics of the day in terms of citizen freedoms and citizen access to information, and she's vetoed all three of those. We passed another bill to end the stay-at-home order and put into statute many of the executive orders so that they were protected by law, and she vetoed that. And so now, you know, that's we're doing very aggressive oversight hearings on some of the decisions made, like at unemployment insurance and at nursing homes, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I mean, we've been obviously very active, but have had really no role in the final decisions going into executive orders, which I believe everybody would agree could have helped the process, because they've all been full of ambiguities and in some cases absurdities that I think would have been avoidable if we'd have had a little more robust review of them before announcing them.
And finally, Mike, I'll ask you to grade the citizens, your constituents, on their reaction to the pandemic.
It's a split decision. I think people sincerely are trying to do their best, but when they're faced and given information that's conflicting, or they get executive orders that make no sense, it's understandable for there to be a reluctance to comply and a lack of trust, a lack of confidence. And I believe that is the root of the angst that we're feeling today in this state. And that is, there's a gap between what government's responsibility is and the trust that people have in it. And it's mostly driven by some of these really crazy, ambiguous executive orders. And this, the continued mandates, dictates, versus doing our best to inspire people to help us get through this process. So, I give our citizens a B plus because despite all those headwinds I just went through, they're trying hard.
All right, Mike. I mean, I could keep shooting questions at you all morning, but I won't. I'll just ask one more. What's going on?
I thought you said the last one was the last.
That was just the last grading question.
Okay, all right.
This can be the last one. It's a little more general. What are you working on that's not COVID-19 pandemic related?
Mental health issues, and one of my passions is reengaging in health disparities for minority births and moms, babies and moms. That's been something that's been a passion of mine. I've been distracted on it for a couple of years, but we're going to get back at it, and that's a really important one. And then lastly, and this is, I guess, peripherally related to COVID-19, I'm strongly cheerleading the citizen initiative to get the signatures to repeal the 1945 law so that we force a governor, not just this governor, but any governor, and a legislature, after a period of time, to have to work together to manage through emergencies. That's not what we're experiencing now, and I believe it's resulted in a lot of the confusion and a lot of the problems that we've had. So those are my top priority. Well, and then, of course, encouraging and cheerleading for school startup and trying to identify the questions that they need answers so they can actually plan and execute in the fall. That's also been a really high priority.
All right, Mike, I really appreciate your time this morning. State Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky, have a great week.
You too, Steve. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mike Shirky on the hotline this morning.